Feldo picked up his javelins.
They're Badrang's creatures. I can't hear what they're saying, but any beast with half an eye could see that they're tracking the cart, trying to find out where our camp is. Here, take this javelin and follow me, Brome. Keep low and stay quiet.
The two companions headed back south along the cliff top, in the direction of the camp, scurrying on all fours as Feldo followed the imprint of the cart tracks. Judging that he had gone far enough, Feldo halted.
Do as I do, Brome. Cover the tracks until I tell you to stop.
Brome did not question his friend. He realized the urgency of the situation. Scuffing and brushing with their paws, they obliterated the twin ruts of the wheel marks from the loose sandy earth. Feldo took a quick look around.
Good, that should do. Now take one of these javelins and hurry!
Dashing back to the spot where the cart tracks ended, Feldo set the blunt end of a lance in the ground and began a swerving furrow towards a low hill in an inland direction. Realization of the plan dawned on Brome. They were going to lead the trackers off on a false trail. Scoring the ground with his lance end, he caught up with Feldo. Away the pair went over the low hill, leaving in their wake two grooves. Bugpaw halted and stood upright.
Look here, clear as daylight and fresh as a daisy. These are good tracks. Looks like they took on extra weight.
Flink sniffed the ground and nodded.
That's right, Captain Hisk. I can't smell badger anywhere near these ruts, and I can sniff badger a mile off. That means the big badger must have hurt his paw and had to ride up on the cart. The tracks are slightly deeper. Look.
Hisk puffed out his narrow chest, satisfied he was back in control.
Good work, you two. Keep it up. Come on, let's go.
The tracks led west over the low hill and out across some furze land, through a patch of damp sandy flats and into an expanse of reed grass. Hisk and his soldiers followed diligently, the weasel captain issuing whispered orders as they dog-trotted across the patchy moonlit landscape.
Don't forget, silence at all times. When we find the camp, we make a note of its position and head right back to Marshank. Lord Badrang will take care of the rest.
Brome and Feldo dragged the javelins behind them as they scurried into a heavily bulrushed area. The squirrel's paw squelched deep. He stopped, checking Brome as he did.
Halt, swampland! Let's hide over there, where the rushes are thickest. Here, take some more javelins. I'll cut you a throwing stick while we're waiting on Badrang's vermin. Hisk is their leader. Leave him to me. I've got scores to settle with that scum-nosed blackguard. He bent many a rod over my back.
Hisk shook his spear triumphantly.
The marshlands! That's where they're hiding. No wonder they thought they were safe. Who'd follow any beast into marshes? Well, their secret hiding place isn't a secret anymore. Keep your eyes peeled for a campfire among these bulrushes.
As he was talking, the trackers bypassed him and went ahead. Eager to complete their mission, they raced along with the tracks clear and the soft, heavy ground. Flink pawed at a broken rush, noting the way grass had been trampled.
It's funny. The ground's pretty soft here. They must have found a firm path to get a loaded cart into marshland. Hey, Buggy?
Well, help! I'm sinking! Help me, mates!
Hisk hurried forward.
Shut up, loudmouth. Do you want him to know we're here?
Flink stared at the dark patch of smoothness beyond the rushes.
It's Buggy! He's gone!
Hisk grabbed Flink and shook him.
I told you to keep your voice down, idiot. Now, what do you mean, Bagpaw's gone?
Swamp!
Flink's teeth chattered with fright. As he was speaking, both he and the captain had started to sink. Hisk pushed Flink away from him as the tracker grabbed wildly at his spear. Flink fell over backwards and the ooze gripped him and engulfed him. The weasel captain pulled one foot paw free. Stabbing his spear deep into the firmer ground, he hurriedly hauled himself out. The others bumped into each other as they fought in the darkness to distance themselves from the swamp edge. A rat called Fragum stood on tip paw, peering into the patch where Bugpaw and Flink had been a moment before.
Where did they go?
The javelin filled his mouth, flashing out of nowhere like dark lightning. Brome had never seen a creature killed at close quarters before. One moment, the rat had been alive and shouting. Then in a flash, he was slain. The young mouse was no killer. He stared in horror at Feldo, who had just thrown the javelin. The squirrel's face showed little emotion as he fitted another javelin onto his throwing stick and whipped his arm back. Sighting on a shape in the darkness, he flung the missile and was rewarded by a gurgling scream.
Got him!
The javelins and throwing stick dropped from Brome's paws.
You killed them.
Feldo slid another javelin along his throwing stick.
Aye, young'un. It's called war. You'd best give me those javelins if you can't use them. Stay here and rattle these rushes, but keep your head well down. I'll be back soon.
With a grim light in his eyes, Feldo crawled off. Hisk threw his spear at the clump of bulrushes.
Over there! See the rushes moving? That's where they are!
Spears and arrows flew in the direction he had indicated. Brome was a brave and reckless young mouse, but the idea of slaying another living creature appalled him. Now other beasts were trying to kill him. Suddenly, he knew the meaning of fear. He lay flat, doing as Feldo had told him, tugging at the rushes so they rattled. Fragments of bulrush showered down on him as missiles crashed by overhead. His paws were shaking so much with fright that the long stems rattled furiously. What had started out as an adventure had turned into the stark reality of life and death. Feldo worked his way around to the other side of his foes, silent as a shadow. The powerful squirrel used a single javelin as a stabbing implement, taking out a ferret and another rat. Feldo had a javelin sighted on Hisk when a rat stepped in the way and took it through his side. The rat let out an ear-splitting scream as he went down. Hisk turned, catching a glimpse of his enemy as the squirrel dodged off into the cover of the rushes.
It's a squirrel! One of the slyies after him!
They crashed off into the marshes after him. Hisk took a swift head count as they went. A tremor of shock ran through him. Only 5 left, counting himself. He had taken 10 soldiers and 2 trackers when he left Badrang. The squirrel had slain 5, plus the 2 trackers who had been lost in the swamp. Enraged, Hisk picked up the spear of the rat who had fallen to Feldo's last throw and followed the others. Brome stopped shaking the reeds and lay still, wondering if Badrang's soldiers had caught Feldo. The young mouse was frightened at being left all alone in the hostile marshland, but determined he should do something to rescue his friend. Gritting his teeth, he grasped his throwing stick firmly. He had no javelins, but at least he could use the stick as a weapon. There was a rustle in the vegetation nearby. Brome froze as a paw fell on his shoulder.
Come on, mate. Time to get out of here.
Feldo, where did you come from?
The strong squirrel pulled him upright, explaining as he led the way to firmer ground.
I got about 1/2 of them, maybe more. Missed that scummy Hisk, though. I've been leading them a pretty dance around the edges of this quagmire. They'll be lucky to find their way back to Marshank, let alone locate our camp.
They followed the false cart tracks back to the low hill and were soon in sight of the camp. Brome had to dog trot to keep up with his friend's strong pace.
Feldo, back there, I mean...
The squirrel winked and patted him kindly.
You don't have to explain anything to me. You're my matey. You were very brave tonight, young'un. Not every creature can slay or take life. Don't worry about it. I've seen the time when I was like you, which I still was.
Brome shook his head.
You wish you were like me.
Feldo threw a paw about the young mouse's shoulder.
Indeed I do. It's slavery that's made me this way. I'd slaughter every one of Badrang's horde if I had my way. Then I'd be sure that every honest creature was safe from the threat of slavery, bending to the will and whim of a tyrant. Cold in winter, hungry in summer, watching old friends dying around you from hardship, hoping and longing for freedom through all those lost and wasted seasons of my life. You've never known that, Brome. Only a few days' captivity with Martin and me in the pit. I wish that I'd had a happy life in Noonvale like you, never knowing the burning hate that drives you on to slay enemies.
The camp was still. Fires had guttered low, and creatures were sleeping peacefully. As they entered the camp, only Balor and the baby Fuffle were still awake, both munching steadily at the remains of the feast.
What ho, you two?
The hare waved a half-eaten pasty at them.
Come and help us mop this lot up, what?
They sat down and tucked in gratefully, drinking deep from a bowl of cider with blossom petals floating on it. Feldo glanced at Fuffle over the rim of the bowl.
That little snip should have been snoring long ago.
Balor chuckled as he demolished the rest of the pasty.
I know he should. Amazing little blighter, really. Bit like me, I suppose. Can't rest while there's still tucker about. Ain't that right, me old Fuffle?
The infant mouse halted his attack on a carrot and parsley turnover long enough to reply.
Fuffle like Thu. Plenty Thu make you big.
It was still several hours to dawn when Badrang and the horde halted within sight of Marshank. They rested, waiting until Fleabane and Findo, who were the advance scouts, returned. The two weasels came panting along the shore to where Badrang sat and made their report.
Clog's taken over the fortress, sire.
Aye, lord. We could hear the noises of his crew singing and feasting. Sounded like they was having a fine time.
Badrang stared impassively at the fort in the distance.
I might have known something like this would happen. Has Clog posted wall sentries?
Two, sire. Both over the front gates.
No others that you noticed?
None but the two, lord. We circled the place to make sure.
The tyrant stoat stood upright slowly.
Follow me. I'll gut any beast who makes a sound. Clog has got to learn that he is only an idiot corsair. I am Badrang, master of all this coast. He'll soon find that out.
Chapter 29.
Give me a bunk up, Martin. I'm a bit short in the paw for this.
Martin shoved his sword flat under Palom's foot paws and heaved. The hedgehog scrambled swiftly onto a higher ledge. Bringing up the rear, Martin hoisted himself alongside Palom, halting a moment to note the progress of the gore tribe. The squirrels were catching up quickly, far too quickly for Martin's liking. He looked up to where the cave loomed like a black eye socket on the mountain in the night. Rose and Grum were in the lead, assisting each other as they scrambled up the brown rocks which still radiated heat from the day's sun.
Hurry, Martin! With a bit of luck, we might make it to the cave!
Grum peered down at the crowds of nimble, screeching figures advancing upwards like the waves of a spring tide.
Us'uns need more than a bit of luck, Mizzy. Need a girt eep.
Don't stop! Keep going! Take Palom with you. I'll act as rear guard. At least I'll stand a bit of a chance being above them with a sword in my paw. Go on, Rose. Do as I say.
The mouse maid sat down firmly on an outcrop, her foot paws dangling over the landscape far below.
Oh, no. If you don't start climbing, I'm stopping here. Either we go together or not at all, Martin.
Now the squirrels' wild faces could be picked out in the darkness, illuminated in silvery moonlight as they chattered and shrieked.
Good game! Good game!
Catch him and throw him off! Throw him off!
Martin put up his blade and began climbing fast.
All right, I'm coming. Keep moving.
Grum slid back on the scree. Only the outcrop that Rose had been seated on saved him. Martin arrived behind him with Palom, and together they shoved Grum upwards. The mole was trying hard not to show his fear of high places, though every so often he clamped a digging paw across his eyes, moaning softly.
I can't look up nor down. It makes me very sick.
Rose reached down to grasp his paw.
Please, Grum, keep climbing. It's not far to the cave now.
Martin found a loose rock and hailed it down at the leading squirrels. They skipped aside with superb agility.
Good game. We'll catch you, Mousy.
His paws aching from the strain, Martin pulled himself onward and upward, grunting with exertion as he shoved Palom ahead. Suddenly, Martin felt his foot paw being grabbed. One squirrel, faster than the rest, had sprinted up and caught him.
Gotcha!
With furious energy, he kicked back with his free foot paw. With a long, drawn-out howl of despair, the squirrel hurtled out into empty space and was lost in the night.